Starting off today with the school's resource officer, Paul May. Of course, for many years, Paul was Rockford Police Chief. And then, Paul, you kind of transitioned into being the school resource officer. Is this year three now?
Or? This is starting year three, correct?
All right, year three for you as school resource officer. And so maybe a quick summary, if you would, share with us the function of a school resource officer. What's it all about?
Well, it says it in the title, resource. So basically, I kind of do whatever the school or what's needed. There's no specific one thing. Obviously, we do patrolling and watch the kids and pay attention to different things going on, how some of the parents are driving in the parking lots and stuff. But overall, I mean, I've grabbed a mop at lunch and I've picked up pencils in the middle of the hallway. So it's just, you know, I try to keep myself busy.
Excellent. For you, I'm sure also that some of the students, depending on their age, probably view you a little differently, right? The little ones think, isn't he cool?
And the older ones think, rock star at the elementary.
Yeah. High school.
As you go north to the middle school and to the high school, not so much.
Yeah, then they kind of like, oh, we got to behave. Here he comes,
yeah,
right?
That's
neat to know how some things don't change.
Yeah,
too much.
Not at all.
In addition to that, you know, one of the things I've heard about school resource officers is that your presence is so important. You know, that people are comfortable that you're here. They're grateful that you're here, right?
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. A lot of the community has come up to me and thanked me for being here. I mean, it's just like law enforcement. We're never going to know exactly what we prevent or, you know, keep from happening, but I think, you know, being here has helped. I know our discipline is down. They've said it. First year we had some issues, and last year we had no physical fight at Parkway. So, you know, I have no way of knowing if that's, you know, I have to assume there was some influence there.
Yep, there you have it. And that's good to know, actually, because I can remember growing up, you would have the occasional fight, you know, with younger people that try to settle the differences that way, and you got to teach them young. Hey, you can't do that.
Yeah,
right?
This is not the place here at Parkway to do physical fighting. I mean, really no time and a place for it, but definitely can't.
And something also, do you occasionally talk to the kids in class? Do they bring you in for that?
Yeah. I'll pop into different high school classes, especially civics, some history and stuff. The elementary, we do booster seat training here. But in general, just I try to chit-chat with the kids whenever I see them in the hallways on their breaks or obviously at lunch. My biggest duty here is from basically 11 to 12:30. I'm in the lunchroom because that's where half the school is for that hour and a half.
Yes, and again, under some things never change. I know lunch can be an interesting time. You got hungry, excited kids,
yeah.
And every once in a while, we all need reminded, right, of lunchroom etiquette, et cetera. Right?
I bought a referee's whistle, so I'll have that. I've got that in my pocket so that if it gets too loud in there, we just wait for one of the aides to give me the nod, and I blow the whistle.
Then what is it, the 15-yard penalty?
Yeah, something like, yeah, throw a yellow flag, you know.
Yeah, there you have it. And also, I'm sure there's kind of always a struggle between, okay, these are kids, they're still learning, and also, okay, but we got to talk about some of this stuff, right? We got to get some good habits in now, right?
Yeah, I kind of mark it down as what I consider an intervention. If they're doing something that isn't quite right, maybe chit-chatting with them a little bit and letting them know, hey, we're not going to be doing that anymore. And I've gotten a good response here at Parkway. I think I've done 3 reports in 3 years now. This year isn't out yet, but the kids adjusted really well. And for me, it's going fantastic.
Excellent. And also, as we're talking to Paul May, school resource officer, wanted to also ask, you know, for you, share with us a bit about your own background, like where you came from originally and kind of what brought you to this point.
Well, I grew up in Wilshire, Ohio, graduated Parkway in 89, went off to the service, came back, went to the Apollo Police Academy, and while about 3 weeks before I took my state test, an opening here at Rockford opened up, and It's been 33 years now.
That's amazing how that worked out for you, right?
It worked out great.
Home, in a sense, right?
Right.
And another thing, too, that people should know that certainly this is a quiet area overall. But over the years, whether, it's been at school or even in the Rockford community, yes, things happen. And that's why the police are here,
Right. Yeah, I definitely have seen things I didn't realize was ever going to occur. We've had the armed robbery, the murder. We had a beheading that made Larry King live at some point. But overall, we're pretty blessed to live in the areas that we live here in Mercer County. I do some security work up in Cleveland and Akron, and yeah, that's just a different world.
It is, and I always kind of remind people, that yes, it's quieter, but never say it can't happen here.
Correct.
That's
yeah.
the important thing, right?
Yeah, I think about that daily, especially when stuff in the national news is going on. We can't say that it couldn't happen. There's capabilities there. So that kind of reinforces or makes me pay a little bit more attention to the three computer monitors or cameras I have in my office, that the computer screens to watch the 130-some cameras we have. So, yeah.
I liked also when you said that sometimes you will sit down with a kid and say, hey, we're not going to be doing this here. It may be one thing when a teacher says it who's definitely an authority figure, but let's face it, you've got the uniform, the badge. This is you do command a little authority and respect and attention. You know, they realize, okay, you're talking to a cop here, right?
Yeah, every time I walk around, everybody's got their eyes on me. They're not sure what I'm going to do. So, yeah, especially at lunch. A lot of high fives get passed out in the elementary, middle school, and then try to talk to the high school kids when I can.
Excellent. I'm sure students can and they have, come to you with some issues. For whatever reason, they're not going to talk to maybe their parents about it or the teacher or the principal, but they're okay talking to you.
Yeah,
right?
I built a rapport with some of the kids, and before I got here, they only ever saw me when there was a problem. Once I got here and actually spent some time with them, they started to realize, hey, he's just trying to help me, and that's what I try to do, is make sure that again, the resource part of it is get them to where they need to go if it needs to go any further than just talking.
Another thing we kind of talked about, too, is you never know what's happening at home, right? In the ideal world, you come to school, you learn, you have a good day, you get good grades. But, there could be things happening at home that, the teachers don't know about, or we don't know about, or their peers. And that might be another one where you kind of sit down with them and say, okay, let's talk about this. Thanks for telling us. Now we're gonna come up with a plan for you.
Right. Well, and being here every single day, whenever their kids are here, I'm here, and so then you also get to see the kids, and you can tell when they're not having a good day, or normally they're high fiving you, giving you the knuckles or something, and then all of a sudden they're just sitting there by themselves. So, I try to interact the best I can and as often as I can with them, because again, yeah, maybe they just needed to vent for some reason, and maybe that helps them out later in the day.
Yeah, and it can be anything from, and some of the things that, it's sad when kids have to deal with, but it happens. Their parents are splitting up, or a grandparent has become very sick, and
sure.
Those things don't necessarily get easier at any age, but when you're still, growing up, when you're a kid, even harder, right?
Right. Yeah, Parkway's a small city. I mean, we have just as many probably here at Parkway than we do in the village during the day. So, you're going to have all those different issues that pop up.
Yeah, that's another thing to talk about, too, the size of the district. It may be one thing when you start comparing the number of students you have with some of the other districts, but y'all win in terms of square footage or mileage, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I average about 4.5 miles a day just on my normal go-arounds, and sometimes it's more. Sometimes it's less, but usually it's right around, I get in about 4 miles a day.
get your steps in.
I do.
Also, when we talk about, for you, what may be next, much like any teacher or administrator, there's this calendar, school year. I'm sure for you, you kind of think about things that are coming up, whether it's the start of football or here in the holidays, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the school gets days off for Thanksgiving and Christmas breaks and different things. And I follow the school schedule. So, when the kids aren't here, I'm not here. And for me, that's pretty awesome. But yeah, it changes from, moving into the fall and winter, things will get more school delays and cancellations that, throws all the staff into trying to figure out how to get all the work in one day. And then you can definitely tell on 2 and 3 hour delays that the kids would have rather not been here.
Now, understand
them a little bit to get focused.
Yeah, once you're thrown off your routine,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
I think another thing as well, have any students occasionally approached you over the 3 years and said, hey, I think I want to be in law enforcement? Have you ever sat down with them and said, okay, let's talk about this career,
Vantage has an academy there. The kids are doing law enforcement there. So I get a shadower every once in a while. And some of them, military or going into law enforcement, they ask a lot of questions, which is good. I try to explain to them what they see me doing is not what's going on the streets now. So if it's really cool, what I'm doing, it might be not the same when you're actually on the street and in the cars and dealing with complaints.
And do you also sometimes have to let them know that, look, CSI is a very entertaining TV show, but don't be expecting that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing here at Parkway is the kids will say, it's on camera, right? They'll come up and say there's something missing, and they'll say, you can find it on the camera. So, yeah.
Yeah, is that something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing, too, that you can work with people on, that it is on camera, respect people's property.
Yeah.
I'm sure at any school, anywhere, occasionally, things come up missing, and they weren't
the
lost.
It's just forgotten.
Yeah, that
they,
does happen,
like the things where they didn't think they left them, and sure enough, that's where it was.
That's true. We humans can be a stubborn lot, and we never want to admit we might have lost it.
Right.
And then you have to reason with them and say, why do you think anyone would steal this?
Right.
It's just your lucky charm or whatever, right?
So each district has a table full of clothes that have been left behind. We could probably fill a pickup truck sometimes. It's just everybody leaves sweatshirts and jackets.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Ask a lot of frustrated parents about that. You lose your jacket again, right?
Well, if they're missing it, they should check the tables at their district.
Pretty neat, I think, also for you to, in a sense, go back to school like we have. Obviously, when you graduated, it was a different building. So it must be pretty neat for you to actually have gotten to come in here and work here, even though it was built long after you had graduated,
right.
Of course, right?
Yeah. But it took me a while to figure out where I was. I'm going to be honest, I had to go into a classroom and look outside to see what part of the building I was in when I first started, but now I've got it down pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and you know which building you're in because suddenly the desk gets smaller.
Yeah, they do.
I remember that from the first tour we took here back in 06 when they cut the ribbon.
Uh-huh.
And they had Governor Taft here.
Yep.
It was a Sunday, and how much fun, that was.
Sure.
And so a lot of fun, I think, with that too, and realizing that we still think of it as the new building, and yet it's verging on 20 years old, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They've done a good job, though.
Good upkeep, got good staff, and kids, for the most part, respect the equipment and stuff, and that goes a long way to help the taxpayers not have to replace stuff.
That's a good point. Do you also sometimes, talk to the kids or remind them that obviously something that we didn't have growing up is social media and use it responsibly?
Yeah, we try to cover that. We have issues with that sometimes. Once it's created, it's there for life. You may think you deleted it, but it's going to be there, and you just got to be aware of that when you're building something or creating something, that it could be permanent.
Yeah, no, and that's they talk about sometimes if a person is angry, they should wait a few minutes,
yep,
right?
Definitely.
or, you know, make sure, would your mom be okay reading this? It's sometimes a good barometer. And so, and you know, I think also for a lot of us, knowing that a lot of the bullying you see is really more about the bully than anything else, right?
Yeah. Think,
what did I do to deserve this? The answer is nothing, usually.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a 100% definition on bullying. We try to teach the kids that, you know, sometimes picking isn't actually bullying. It's just if they probably like you or whatever.
True.
So it's just, it's a balance we have to try to figure out.
I don't know about you. You have a few friends that if they stopped picking on you, it would break your heart.
Yeah, I would think I made them mad or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, wait, a couple of those.
You haven't made fun of me in 2 months. What are you doing here? So,
right.
Always a pleasure to catch up with you, as we certainly enjoyed you know, working with you for many years. You were the press release guy and our go-to guy when things would happen here in the Rockford area. And as we indicated, fortunately, we didn't hear from you too much, but sometimes we did, and we still do to this day that something comes to Rockford.
Yeah, there's always going to be something going on. We have, you know, 7,000 cars a day that come through Rockford.
Okay. It's something to eat, pump your gas, and get on out of here. Don't be starting trouble.
Right.
Thanks, Paul. Good to see you.
Good seeing you. Thanks.
And we wanted to, you know, kind of take a moment and, you know, thank Paul May for being here. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to meet Lori Groff next as we continue here on Back to School.
And we welcome you here back to school once again from Parkway. I'm Kevin Sandler. Thank you to Swiss Village, Chat Insurance Center, Second Crossing Brewery, and the Rockford Chamber. Also, thank you to The Fix. I've Lauren Grudorf with me now, who's the Fun Runners assistant coach. Lauren, nice to see you.
Nice to meet you.
I wanted to start by having you talk to us a bit about your background. If you'd share with us where you grew up and why did you get into education?
I'm actually from Salina. I'm a graduate of Salina in 07. Our children came over here to Parkway when my daughter Emma was in kindergarten, and we've just loved it over here. So I'm actually a preschool teacher over at Creative Discovery in Salina, but I love volunteering here at Parkway. I'll come in and help with picture day, field trips, and now the Little Panthers Running Club.
So let's hear about the Little Panthers Running Club. What's that all about?
It's fun. Last year we had about 25 to 30 runners, and we've doubled that this year. We take the kids to local fun runs. We have a few in Bern. We have a few where we travel with the cross country team and do the fun runs. Last year we'd have about 6 or 7 that would travel with us. And for our Spencerville race, we had 31 Little Panthers run that fun run.
That's pretty neat. I'm sure they really, you know, enjoy it. Kids do love to run, and I'm sure you like the physical fitness part of it, right?
That's to get kids moving, to get them motivated. They're running against themselves, and we tell them all the time, if you cross the finish line, you beat yourself, you're doing great. You know, we're so proud of all of them who show up, do the work. And if you don't beat your time, you still cross that finish line, and that's all that we could ever ask of them.
That's a good point. Yeah, once you've done that, I'm sure you see this building confidence. Like maybe in the beginning, they didn't think they could even finish this race, but they did it. And now you can work on time a little if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Yep. They see a couple of seconds or even a minute fall off, and they just get pumped, and they can see what they can do. And you see their confidence just build little by little, and it's great.
I'm sure also at times the weather's a factor. Ryan, I mean, obviously, it may be on a slightly cooler day, it's easier to run in some of those blast furnace days we still get in September, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's where parents really come in. We've had parents donate popsicles and Gatorade so the kids are fully hydrated and have a nice sweet treat after they're done running and sweating. And we really appreciate all the parents. And Ann Vian, she's come in and helped. She's the cross-country coach. And Terry Samples, the AD director, we just have so many people who are supporting this group, and we just couldn't be more proud.
That sounds like it's an ever-expanding program. You mentioned you've doubled the students, and you're doing more events overall?
Yes. Yep. We're actually taking a boys group and a girls group to Jerome High School in Dublin for state, where they will be doing a 2-mile race instead of a 1-mile race. So we're getting them all pumped up and prepared to start doing double practices and getting close to that 2-mile goal.
You know, it's fun. It's funny to think about that. Dublin's not really that far away, but to these kids, I'm sure they're going far away, right?
Oh,
they're
yes.
probably not used to those kind of trips.
No. Yep. And they think it's a lot of fun. There's a ton of kids who come. And I mean, there's literally kids everywhere. It's chaos, but it is the best time. And they all have a great time. They're all cheering for each other. At the last burn race, we had kids who finished really fast and kids who really didn't. And those kids, as soon as they finished, they were out at the finish line ranting for all the other kids to come and finish with them. So we've got a great group of kids that really cheer on each other and have each other's backs. And we love them so much.
And again, can you remind us what their ages are generally there in your program?
Yep, we have grades 3 through 6 this year.
Excellent. Do you also talk to them about things like stretching and also eating a little bit better, right? They say you are what you eat, and if you're having too much of the kind of junky food, that's gonna come haunt you, right, when you're trying to do the running.
Oh, yes. We've got last year we had public speakers come in. We had Jess Schaefer come in and talk about certain foods that you should eat. Barry Peel came in and talked about fitness. He does all kinds of different things with his gym and gym class. And we just have so many people willing to come and support us and help these kids kind of mold and grow and kind of see through the future here.
Also, you know, with the running, do you talk to the kids about have the right shoes, right? People might be surprised if you have the wrong shoes. That can hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. We have a few who tried to show up with cleats one day, and so then we had to have a discussion about that. But overall, you know, comfortable tennis shoes, whatever you feel comfortable running in for longer than 20 minutes, then we're okay with, you know, sandals, boots, not really great.
Yeah, no combat boots.
No.
Right? And I think when you talk to people that are runners, like marathon people and you know, that really, really get into it, I mean, there's no such thing as too many shoes. I'll have a wing of their house dedicated to their various shoes that they run in, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't personally run. I got into this with my co-coach, Holly Strunk, and she kind of got me into this, and it's just been so fun. We'll run with them. We'll help them. Holly really helps with their form, helps get them kind of straightened out, where to pace, how to start, and how to finish. And I get to crank some tunes and have fun with them. And we kind of help each other out here.
Yeah, probably a good point about endurance and pace yourself. You may start out full speed and you look great, but then after a little while into it, you're out of gas, right?
Oh,
you're out of fuel, right?
You tucker out, for sure. But they've really learned a lot about starting hard and finishing hard and really trying to find a comfortable pace to where they're not pumping too hard, but they can go at a comfortable pace.
I'm sure for a lot of them, you'd like to encourage them to keep running. I know not everybody will, but I'm sure there's an expectation that some of them are going to be, you know, maybe future track or cross-country people here at Parkway.
Oh, yeah. I think Ann Vian's getting her scope in on seeing these kids run and kind of keeping that motivation alive. Last year, we also did a spring league to get ready for the Music Boosters 5K, and we had a lot of kids show up for that. And so just to kind of keep the activity, whether they want to keep running or not, I think that's all based on them and how they keep getting encouraged. But it's just the motivation of just keep moving. You know, you just got to have that motivation to build yourself up and know that you can do it and know that we're all here to cheer you on to do it.
You'd mentioned the tunes, right? And that's a big thing. I can't imagine too many people want to run in silence, right?
Oh, no. The kids actually really love Forrest Frank. He's a Christian singer, and they're out there dancing to it, and they're out there singing all the songs while they're running laps, and they just think it's the best.
Also, you had mentioned, you know, in the remaining moment, you're a preschool teacher, I understand, right?
Yes.
That's got to be a fun age to work with. They're the kind of wide-eyed curiosity,
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. I teach the 5-year-olds this year, and last year I did the 3s and the 5s. So I know everything about all the parents. They have lots of stories to tell, and they're a lot of fun.
When they're on the lower end of that scale, the three-year-olds, what are you trying to teach them? Are you kind of starting, obviously, with some very basic things, right?
Oh, yes. Patience is a big one. Sharing is a big one. And just being a good friend. You know, we want to show them the basics of colors and introducing them to letters and numbers and shapes. But to be able to be in a room with lots of kids that they don't know yet, to be able to share the space, share the toys, share the tables is a really big thing for them.
Yeah, and that's, patience. I'm sure many parents appreciate that. Also, sharing is not always a popular word among that age group. I don't remember that being a popular word in my household. But on the other hand, that is something that they're going to learn it now or later. Sharing is part of life, right?
Oh, yes. Well, and they teach us just as much as we teach them. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, and I tell you one thing with the kids, if ever you kind of say one thing and do another, they will always bust you for that.
Oh, yes. They know for sure. They will hold you accountable just as much as we hold them accountable, for sure.
And you think, how did you remember that? But they do.
Oh, they always do. Yeah. They always know.
The little tape recorders that they are. So
I subbed this morning and I said, well, if we can finish art, we can go outside. I mean, as soon as we finished art, they were ready to go.
They're ready. Yeah. Don't make any promises you can't keep. So, well, Lauren, we want to thank you again, for coming and talking about the Fun Runners, program. Certainly does sound like a lot of fun and a good way to encourage, the kids to, get physically active, be physically active. And I think, running is one of those sports that obviously, like you said, the form is important and staying in shape is important, but also an activity that within reason almost anyone can do, right? And some kids, they can't hit a ball or dribble a ball, and they don't have the aptitude to be on the football field, et cetera, but they can run.
Yep.
And they have that going for them, right?
They most definitely can run, and it doesn't matter if it's a fast walk or a dead sprint. As long as you're moving, we're happy. Me and Holly just couldn't be more proud of the group and the team that we've built and all the parents that come out and encourage these kids and get them to practice. And it takes a village, and by golly, here at Parkway, we have the best one yet.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate getting to, learn more, about Fun Runners, and also I think for you too, an amazing juggling of time, right? I can't imagine what your days look like, teaching full time and doing this, right?
Luckily, I'm only part time, but my own children are in multiple of different sports, ranging from jujitsu to soccer to running club, and so every day's a new adventure.
I can imagine.
Yes.
Thank goodness for calendars and other things.
Lots and lots of calendars.
Yeah, so where to be and when.
Lots of alarms.
All right. Lauren, good to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
for coming. And so right off the bat, we've had a couple great interview school in Parkway, for this time. And, of course, we thank our sponsors for making this possible. And they include Rockford Eagles Lodge, Rivertail Campgrounds, Hegg Towing, and the Fremont Company, along with Greer's Power Digging. It's Kevin Sandler with you this time, talking to Mike Jones, head of maintenance and custodial here at Parkway. Mike, nice to see you. Thanks for coming.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Mike, I wanted to talk with you and have you kind of remind us a little bit where you grew up originally and what brought you to this position and how long have you been here?
I grew up in Ohio City. This position interests me as a maintenance. I like fixing things, work on things. I grew up in Ohio City, and that's where I came from.
All right. And if you could be so kind, walk us through some of the things you do here, because maintenance and custodial, I'm sure you're constantly busy. There's got to always be something happening, right?
It's never the same. The custodial part, they're pretty much on a schedule, but our job, there's always something different. Never is the same. It can be changing a light bulb to fixing something to tying a shoestring on somebody's shoe. A little kid's shoe needs help tying a shoe. You just never know what you're going to do.
I imagine that tying the shoe is a little easier than reaching some of these light bulbs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's sometimes more rewarding because they sit there and smile at you, you know.
Well, that's for sure. Now, I imagine you have certain things like a ladder, et cetera, because I'm looking over it and I'm like, if this bulb, like these ones above us suddenly went out, you could give me a bulb. How am I going to get up there? So that's why they probably call you, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And we've been doing a lot of LED upgrades in the school too here lately. Ladders and lifts, we use a lot of those here. So, yes.
Yeah, I imagine that the longer you can keep them lasting, the easier things are for you.
Oh, yeah. You got that right. Yep.
And some of the other things that can go wrong that you don't expect, that you talked about light bulbs. Are there, you know, so any other kind of malfunctions you may be called on to fix?
Absolutely. Right now, the guys are out there right now at the football practice field fixing the irrigation 4 foot in the ground. So didn't expect it. So we had to get it down to get fixed. That's what they're doing right now.
For clarification, how many people work with you?
There's 10 total. We're getting ready to there'll be 11 when we're done. Yeah, there'll be 11 people in the department.
So for you, I imagine there's a lot of delegation because as much as you probably want to be busy, you can't do it all, right?
Yeah, you're right. I miss doing it, but I have to learn how to delegate more, yes.
Yeah, I understand. Sometimes you what do they say? Like, no, I'll take care of this. And it's hard to let it go.
It is. Sense. You're exactly right. I still enjoy working on stuff, but I don't have the time to do it.
Another thing also, you know, maintenance and custodial, I imagine there's kind of somewhat of a rotating schedule, right, in a sense of things that once you know that you've worked your way through the list, now you're going to start over,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah. And it's not always the same either. We had somebody call in sick this morning and everybody chipped in and they did and helped us out in the morning, got the classrooms done, we're ready to go. So there's an excellent teamwork here from all the custodians, the maintenance, I just send them a text or a radio and they go at it and they go right at it. So I can't complain about any of them.
Yeah, when you talk about the classrooms were done, I assume that involves some cleaning, right? The floors, et cetera.
Yeah. And sweeping. Sometimes you have to scrub them. Depends if a kid has an accident, you just never know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially in the summertime, there's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Plus some things that you talk about, you know, whether it's summertime when kids are not in school, you can get into some of these more extensive kind of projects, you know?
Yeah. It makes it easier. You can set a plan and you can go get things done and get them fixed right away instead of having to plan around the schedule of when they're in and out of the classrooms.
Another thing also, you know, kind of hard to believe, but I guess next year, if I'm doing my math correctly, is 20 years, right,
in
this building. And you look around, I mean, and I think as a compliment to the district, it all still pretty much looks to me like it could have opened yesterday, really.
And it does, and that's not a reflection of me. It's a reflection of my staff, the board, the administration giving me the tools and the things that we need to complete the job, you know, from paint to cleaning supplies, equipment, you know, and the personnel. It's all huge. It's all a big puzzle you put together and it works out usually.
Yeah, that's something else to determine, right? When it's time to repaint a room, right? I mean, it's going to kind of wear on. Sometimes it may be cosmetic and other times you just realize that's where it is. It's worn off, so to speak.
Yeah, you can see footprints, handprints. There's the normal spots, but then there's always extra spots, you know. Yeah, they all have their wear points, and paint goes a long ways.
Are there also times where, you know, you come up against, you know, where there's normal maintenance or repair, but then you realize, no, we may need an electrician for this, right? If some of the, like the plug, if a plug goes out or something like that, right?
Yeah, we handle the minor things. We get into the higher voltage, and we sub that out to a contractor. Yeah. It's safer that way.
Yeah, some things you don't want to YouTube.
Yeah, especially that one. Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Everybody, if you're listening, don't look up electric repair on YouTube. Please don't do that, right?
No, that's one thing you probably would not want to do.
That's another thing, too, over the years where, you know, there are things you've probably learned to fix on the fly, where you need, you know, I don't really don't know how to fix this, but I'm going to have to figure it out, right?
Yeah, there's some emergencies come up, and, yeah, it may be your first time or you've kind of done it before, but, that's a good thing about the staff we have here. We're good at doing that, you know, we like to fix things and we like to figure it out.
Yeah, and that's sometimes we just got done talking about how we teach kids patience. And yeah. with this, that it's something you want to have fixed now, but first you have to figure out, well, what is actually wrong? Like saying it doesn't work is too broad. I mean, you got to specifically, like, what went wrong here? You got to figure that out before you even think about trying to fix it.
Exactly.
Right?
And there's prints that we go off of that refers us back electrically or plumbing or HVAC, whatever it is that we can refer to, that we call it the Bible, because it's a book that's always been good to us, you know, so we always go back to that and to diagnose things, get it back. It takes us a little while, but we get there.
Yeah, and sometimes also I would imagine that it becomes about fixing it properly. Sometimes there's a way you can make a repair so that something will run, but it's not really right. And
correct.
If you leave it that way, it's really going to be bad, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It always points back to me. But I always try to do it the right way first. And if I don't know, I know who to get a hold of. There's certain people I phone a friend, you know, phone a contractor. Those are the guys that help me out too. So,
yeah, there you have it.
Yeah.
Also, you know, when you talk about, you know, the people that you hire, 10, 11 people, obviously, you know, a good career, right? And,
oh, yeah.
and one that you enjoy, I'm sure, even though, you know, you're on the staff, but you probably do get to know the kids over the years, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of, even the high schoolers, you'll get to know them because you interact with them either by helping you or just by they ask you questions or even my hat that I'm wearing today, the Bengals hat, you know, little kids, you don't imagine how many kids reference the guy with the hat on, the Bengals hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of, that's why I keep wearing it. You
there
know?
You go. do you ever get some flack from some Browns fans now and then?
Oh, yeah. Every day. Yeah. But yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah.
No different wearing a high state hat.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, getting flack from the Browns fan, not this year so far.
No.
They won that game,
yeah,
right?
That's right. No, yeah, the Bengals won.
Yeah.
Barely,
so,
yeah.
Man, hey, a win's a win.
That's right.
And
lucky.
And that's pretty neat. A lot of times people see that and it gives you a personality, right?
Oh, yeah. It's I like to interact with the kids. It's neat. It's fun.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to go to any or many Bengals games yourself?
No, not here. Not in the last probably 20 years since I've been down here. The old stadium I was at.
Yeah. Oh, it's it's a hike.
Yeah.
It is a hike. And but if ever you get a chance to check out that new stadium, I hope you can.
Yeah.
I think you'd enjoy it.
My boys and I, we want to. And we're planning on trying to. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. So, Mike Jones, our guest here, too. And also, you know, do you ever help? I mean, I know you talk about maintenance and custodial stuff. Do you ever help with, you know, putting things up seasonally or doing things like that, like when Christmas rolls around or, you know, things like that?
If something needs hung up, cafeteria staff usually ask for a certain wreath that they have hung up in the cafeteria, and we hang it up for them. It's a little ways up there, so. A few things that we do, yes.
I was also thinking about, speaking of that, a cafeteria, that sometimes things can malfunction in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if we can help, we surely will. There's certain equipment that we just don't have the knowledge of, but we definitely would like to help them.
Yeah, I would think also like some early morning hours is not a good time to realize the oven's not quite working right, you know.
Yeah, we've had the power go out at times and during lunch. And that really throws them for a loop. So we have to dig out extension cords and get to the emergency circuits, and then we can pretty much carry on for most things.
It's kind of neat when you hear things like that, you know, you learn what can happen when giving up's not an option. Like,
correct.
Well, okay, so we're not going to be able to do it this way. We have to find another way to make it work, you know?
The cafeteria goes to, like, paper trays, and then so they can't wash them, but they can still run a few ovens, so.
There you go.
Yeah, it's neat how it's worked out, but you learn that, like you said, you learn on the fly.
Yeah, that's how it goes, right?
Yeah.
And knowledge that over time, I know it's hard to replace, and probably you have to teach some of those younger guys this stuff, right?
I'd love to. I'd teach anybody anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to teach. Whatever I know, I would tell them.
Over the time you've done this too, can you talk about, you know, how things have changed? I imagine some things have gotten a little more complicated, and yet, you know, I'm sure some of the basics of how to fix something is still there.
Yeah, the basics are still there. It's just gotten a little more time-consuming because the building's getting older. So there's more repairs on the backside that most people don't see. That just takes a lot more time. than it used to.
What would be some examples of some of those kind of repairs?
Some of the old electronics, that circuit boards and stuff that control your heating and HVAC and stuff. A lot of that stuff's getting obsolete and or fails. So, and it just takes more time and more parts. There's a lot of valves. There's a lot of hot water valves in this building.
I was going to say that, you know, 20 years for technology is an eternity.
It is.
You know, even 20 years ago, you know, there's some things that I'm sure still work very well. But in that time, for example, like a lot of homeowners will tell you about how their heating and cooling system is on an app on their phone, for example, right? Or like some of these new fangled refrigerators and things like that. That you know,
Wi-Fi compatible.
Yeah, things like that.
Yeah, so. And I can view this building anywhere on my phone, as far as the HVAC part of it is. Yeah, which is nice. If there's a problem, I can always look it up and see what the problem is.
There you go. How nice that is, right?
Yeah, it's nice. That part's nice.
That is nice. And, you know, I will say, though, between you and I, the newfangled and Wi-Fi refrigerators, I don't go that far. With it. Just give me an old school one, please, right?
Yeah, and then the remote thermostats, I don't know if I'm a fan of those either.
So. Yeah, you know, not everything needs an upgrade,
right? That's
right. Sometimes it's we got this right, you know, the first time. So
yes, on and off.
Yeah, on and off. Thank you. Yes, and get off my lawn.
Yeah, there you go.
And on the other hand, though, like you said, though, you know, being able to view things, you know, remotely, where it's a very quick fix, and you're kind of back on things, because certainly depending on what time of year it is, I would think, you know, heating and cooling is critical, you know, for these kids. You don't want them too hot, for example.
Correct. Yeah, it's a fine line between what everybody likes it to be and where it should be, but we try to stick with where it's most efficient.
Yeah.
As far as the school-wise temperature. Yeah,
that's a thing, too, that, you know, you might not think turning up or turning down a few degrees is that big of a deal, but when you have this much space and using this much energy, I bet that would add up, right?
Well, yeah, it will. Exactly, it will. I mean, I think 2 degrees, I can't remember the percentage of that, but it's a good amount. I'd say 20 to 30%. I think, if I remember right, on your reflect on the bill, it's big. Bigger than I think it is.
So when we were growing up, when Mom would get on us about leaving the light on in a room you weren't in, she was right, wasn't she?
She was right. Yeah, you might get your hand slapped for touching something, too.
Yeah, don't touch that.
Yeah, you're right.
That's pretty neat. Yeah. You know, and for you in this time, you know, that you've done this, have you ever had that experience where you might be out and about somewhere and somebody that will just come up to you and say, do you remember me? And you realize it is a student from years ago, right?
Yeah, there's students that do that same thing. And I just like, I know your face, but I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. I don't like that, but that's part of it. But there's a lot of kids I've had interaction with, which is nice.
Yeah.
And now most of them are adults that you see. So it's kind of neat to see them as they're adults and doing well. And
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's where they have to be nice to you when they say, you don't remember me, and say, okay, look, you were 16. I saw you or something. It's like, come on now. Yeah. Now you're pushing 40. We don't look the same.
Well, and I'm getting older, so, memory's not as good as it used to be.
That's very true. That happens sometimes. Yeah. So.
I just call it overload. So
there you have it. So it's sometimes it's astonishing to think of the number of people you come into contact with if you work with the public.
Yeah,
it's staggering.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
but it's kind of neat. I think.
Yeah,
this is a great job. I think it is.
And it is. Mike, again, I want to thank you, for coming on. Always good to catch up with you, as we've done over these last couple of years. And we're certainly glad to do that again. Mike Jones, our head of maintenance and custodial here at Parkway Schools. And a quick break, we're going to meet Sam Gudolph, who's technical director. And then we're going to talk golf. Ryan Thompson, who coaches the boys. Hunter Brunn, who coaches girls golf, as we continue back to school from Parkway here on 96.7 The Wave here at Parkway School. So quick break, and we're going to switch gears and talk golf as we continue back to school at Parkway.